Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu, coming to you Sunday. Fellas, nice little pod breakdown we just had. So obviously Duke goes to Brooklyn, takes care of business, beats Vermont 64-47 on Friday, turns around and beats the Dukes, James Madison, 93-55. Pretty big weekend, pretty exciting. We're going to jump in and kind of talk a little bit about both games here. See who we're going to play. We don't know that just yet. I think Houston and A&M are kind of knotted up right now as we're recording this. Before I do toss it out, first off, just shout out to Duke women's basketball. So went to Ohio State and got a big dub too. So nice to see both programs in the Sweet 16 here. Fellas, I know we're kind of riding high here off James Madison, but let's kind of go back just briefly, talk about the Vermont game. A little bit of a rock fight in that one, right? It was kind of a little bit, they mucked the game up a little bit, as you would maybe expect. Shu, I'll toss this one to you first. Just got a little bit of jitters out of the way, got that round one, you know, 4/13 can be a little bit kind of dangerous there. What'd you take away from that one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we didn't get Yale or somebody like that, right? Mm. You know, we started out well. We had that little lull. We allowed them to kind of catch up there right before a half. You know, wasn't exactly what I expected. I was hoping we were just going to come out and kind of shell these guys. We talked about how, you know, comfortable we felt. They're small. They shoot a lot of threes. They don't hit a lot of threes. But they were able to just kind of keep the game close, especially in that first half. And even I had a two-point game, I believe, a couple minutes into the second half before we kind of went on that run to separate. But, you know, shout out to those guys. I think Vermont been in the tournament 3 years in a row, so they weren't going to be scared of the moment, and we were able to, you know, just fight, compete, and put them away.
Raul, what'd you make of that first round game?
Well, I mean, we knew it was going to be ugly because they're one of the slowest teams in the country, but that was even uglier than I expected. And credit to them, they had a good game plan. You know, it's kind of loading up on Filipowski, making him more into a passer, but he was able to do that. So I thought that was a big key. And then other than that, I thought the biggest key to the game was probably that stretch in the second half that Shu mentioned there, where I think they were down just 2 points, 35-33. And then we had like back-to-back threes and just kind of were able to put enough distance there. And then, of course, we closed out on that 14-3 run. So that was huge, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had our biggest lead at the very end, right? So like all the way through was nice to see. You know, obviously we had some guys play some heavy minutes in round one. Now we'll kind of preview the second round here a little bit where that wasn't the case. You know, you had Roach going 39, Flint played 37, Tyrese played 37, Mark played 35, Jared's at 34, right? So not a big bench game. I will say, though, here, maybe it's an opportunity kind of early on in the pod to maybe shout out Jalen Blake's a little bit. Yeah. Had the two big steals. Now, obviously, turned it right back over both times, right? But, you know, it was nice to see him get a little bit of a spark, a little bit of a kind of late resurgence there for him in the rotation. Hope he's good after that James Madison fall. Kind of a little bit of a Bush League hard foul.
I'd be surprised if he's not concussed. I mean, he hit his head hit the ground pretty hard.
It looked like his spine just like spasmed out. Dude. Like I saw it. I was like, oh man, that looks brutal.
Yeah, and you hope he's ready to go because we'll get to it, but Roach obviously had the dislocated finger, so it's like, and we're already down Foster, so backcourt stuff is getting a little bit on the thin side, and we've been surviving it so far, but we need all the healthy guards we can get.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and I think we can jump in a little bit to it and dissect it, but really to me, it's always like these first round, really the first weekend, but definitely round one, it's always just try to just get a feel for the tournament, right? Get adjusted to it. And just survive.
You could tell the nervousness in the start of that Vermont game. Like, I think it was Sean Stewart had a pass that hit him straight in the hands, and then all of a sudden he's looking up in the sky to find out where it went. You know, and then just you know, we passed the ball well. We had a couple turnovers. Just kind of, I won't say sloppy with it, but I think it was a little bit of the jitters of the first round, but able to handle it in the long run.
Yeah, you just got to shake that off, you know. And again, Vermont is old, right? They're a lot. I mean, every team we play, I guess, is going to be old compared to us. But these guys have been in the tournament before. I thought defensively, though, like we were just really locked in, especially on the the TJ Long kid, who I think was like one of their leading scorers, if not their leading scorer. He finished with 3 points. Didn't even really get any decent looks off either. Didn't pick up performance defensively.
Yeah, didn't they have 18 second half points or something like that as a team? It was a really low number. I know that.
18. Yeah, so we had them 18 in the second half. You know, anytime you're doing something like that, you're doing something right, right? I mean, that's just, you know, and I want to talk about Flip, but maybe I'll save that for our player spotlight. But I thought this was one of Flip's just like big time games because he didn't force anything.
Yeah.
Like they sold out to double him. They sold out to take him out of the game. And maybe last year, maybe a couple months ago this year, the way our offense has like stagnated at times, I was sitting there thinking, man, he's just going to start forcing things. He's just going to start trying to go. The game's kind of close. It's getting mucked up. And he didn't, you know, finished with 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 turnover, 3 blocks.
And we talked about on the preview podcast with John Watson, you know, we're like, these guys are small. Flip should have a double-double by halftime, really, you know, and, credit to Vermont. They weren't going to let Flip beat them. So sending the double teams, but then, you know, Mark's being aggressive, slashing, cutting to the basket, Flip's hitting him. And, you know, Mark had what, 5 or 6 dunks in the first half.
Yeah.
And like you said, just Flip not really hunting stats, you know, just letting the game come to him. So yeah, kudos to him for that.
I'm glad you brought Mark up. Obviously, that's one of the bullet points we had on our outline there, but I thought he was really able to take advantage of Vermont's kind of frankly bad pick and roll defense, which is something that I think Jordan Mann might have highlighted in his video, or I just read it elsewhere, that they're not good at defending the pick and roll. And we were able to kind of run that empty side ball screen, and Mark was the beneficiary because he kept diving to the rim and just getting wide open dunks. We ran it with Roach several times on the left side, but we also, another wrinkle was we ran it with McCain on the right side, which I don't remember seeing a lot this year. So I thought that was cool, just kind of introducing that this late in the year so opponents don't have time to game plan for it.
And we saw it again against James Madison, like late in the game. Like, I mean, and obviously Jared's obviously just on fire, but instead of just continuing to try to find him off ball, we just started putting him on the ball and was like, okay, if they go under, you pull up and shoot it. If not, try to make something happen, get in the lane.
Well, that's the reason I like it so much, is because teams are so terrified of his 3-point shot that if it's more effective with him, I think, than it is with Roach. I mean, teams are playing Roach for the drive probably a little bit more because at this point he's not taking a high volume of threes and the shot doesn't look that great right now anyway. Whereas McCain, what happens is the two defenders just come out on him, both of them, and then that leaves the other guy wide open rolling to the rim.
Yep. Yep. And they haven't seen, like you're right, like they haven't seen it a lot. We haven't ran that a whole lot. You know, when you have Roach, McCain, and Proctor all playing at a high level, like that's a really strong backcourt. You know, I think another thing too, before we kind of just move on or maybe talk about the James Madison game a bit, is,
you know, we looked really connected. We looked really together. So maybe whatever we thought was like, you know, and maybe there was nothing there, but a week ago, it kind of looked like something was just off, right? Like you lose that NC State game, you lose that Carolina game. And sure, both of those teams are in the Sweet 16 too. So maybe the ACC is just good. Like we make up 25% of the Sweet 16 at this point.
Shouts to the ACC.
Shouts to the ACC. Yeah. But it did feel like just something connectivity-wise, just attitude-wise, just something was just a little off. We kind of maybe shrugged the player-only meeting, but hey, maybe something clicked. And then on the other side, maybe it's just you play a 13 and a 12, and that's a great way to get to the Sweet 16, and we just took advantage of a good pod there.
But it's how you do it, right? Like,
right.
I don't think we'd be feeling this way if we had beat James Madison by 5 points.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you walk away with like, what is this, a collective like 60-something point spread here in two games? I mean, that's pretty dominant. That's pretty dominant of winning the games that you need to win, like by a you know, considerable fashion there. So
and this James Madison team, I mean, there were a lot of people, obviously people were picking Vermont, you know, they like to pick Vermont. There's going to be an upset. It's madness, chaos, whatever. But you know, up until this morning, a lot of people thinking this JMU team was really going to give us, you know, a tough game.
Yeah, I mean, they had the nation's longest winning streak coming in, right? Like they had beat Michigan State at Michigan State earlier in the year. They had won, 33 games or 34 games or whatever ended up being there. They were strong, right? They were strong. So I'll take it, man. I'll take that.
I mean, if anything, clearly Vermont played us tougher. Like that was more what I expected out of James Madison, just like a bunch of tough shot making. They were making like threes off the dribble. They had that wild scoop shot at the end of the half. There were some other like and ones and stuff like that. We were just able to, we'll get into it, but we're just able to take James Madison out of it early.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of talk too for the, I guess we'll just segue into it, was about like the physicality of James Madison and like how they could bully us. And obviously we all know what happened in Tennessee. And even some games this year, like physicality had kind of just routed us a little bit. Like, I don't know if we watched the same game, but like they didn't seem that physical to me. There was a little mini stretch there where they like after a timeout where they came out, we're just like really trying to blitz us. And then we immediately kind of just calmed that, weathered the storm. And I think Flip got an and one or like something happened like that. It didn't seem to bother us at all. Now, maybe Edwards getting those two quick fouls. Obviously, that hurts them. Right. Like right out of the gate, he gets pretty much taken out of the game. I don't know, man. We seem to handle it really well.
They tried to press us, and then that's when Mark took that, you know, thunder dunk from down.
His only 2 points, man. Yeah, he just crushed that. Yeah. Dude, that was oof.
He went for that second one in transition, and that was kind of a silly play by him there. But, I mean, it was just interesting. I just thought we looked like the bigger team. We were playing harder, too. Like, I think the Edwards fouls certainly did throw them off their rhythm, but I thought just – the kind of look in our eye that we came out with. I think even if he had been able to stay in the game, we were winning that one going away.
Yeah, it didn't matter. We just were locked in. And I think that kind of comes from last year. Right now, McCain is the story, but I think when you have four of those guys coming back to where it really sets the tone of like, now we're going to come out, we're going to be in their grill, like we're going to set the pace here.
How many steals in the lane there did we get? I mean, I know at one point they said James Madison had 7 turnovers, and I was like, only 7? It felt like 15, you know?
Yeah.
Like we were deflecting. We're deflecting everything in the lane.
Yeah, we were. I mean, there's really nothing you can say bad about a 40-point win, pretty much, right? Like, I mean, we had the walk-ons on with like 6 minutes to go here. Like, it was
kind of had to. I mean, after Blake's went out and, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of guys left. Jared was a little upset about getting pulled with, you know, 6 minutes left. And I guess what he tied the record then, right? It's 8.
The record, but there was another record that Shire held. I'm not exactly sure with that one. And maybe that's points by a freshman or something.
Must be points, but it couldn't be by a freshman, I don't think, because we only won We didn't even win a single. We didn't even win a single tournament game his freshman year.
So it had to be just points. Maybe what do you have that? What do you have in the Baylor game? Did he have 30 something in the game against Baylor?
Senior. It surprised me if that was only the high for a Duke player in all the tournament games we played. I mean, we know Zion's Christian Laettner had 30. Obviously, in the Kentucky game, a perfect 30. In fact.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what I saw him in the presser. They were kind of going back and forth on that a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you just mentioned it, so let's not bury it too much, right? Let's talk about Jared here, guys. I mean, you know, he had kind of had not so much of like a disappearing, but he had cooled off a little bit, right? Like teams were able to key in on him a little bit and kind of get him to where he wasn't able to take that many threes. James Madison decided not to do that. And dude, if he didn't make him pay, man, to hit your first six and like, they weren't like rattling out six. It was like, and they weren't all wide open either. Like when he was going, dude, it was impressive. I think one of those steals, he gets the steal, comes down, passes it up to Proctor in the wing, who just hits it right back to him. Yep. And he just lets it rip, dude. And it was like, when that's when I was like, okay, like we're good. We good. Just impressive, dude, for him to come out and be able to shoot.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
Even some of the shots that he took in the Vermont game, kind of 360'd out. You know, they weren't bad misses. They were, you know, close misses.
Yeah. And then to your point, Raul, like once he starts doing that, he's not just your insert X just shooter that just stands over there, right? Like, because once he hits a few like that, well, now you have to change your defense. And then we just put him on the ball and was like,
and then
okay,
he's a playmate. I'm gonna tell you what, two of the best passes I've seen all weekend came from him. He hit that mark on that stagger screen.
Oh, that was nice.
Dunk in the Vermont game, and then the little come to the lane and the drop off pass to flip tonight, for the two handed dunk.
Yeah. 8-11 for three, dude.
Man. Earlier in the year, I was discussing with another Duke fan about this team, and we were saying, you know, the thing is, we don't have a game-breaking player like a Zion, right? Or even a Paolo in the tournament. Just a guy who can just bust the game open with his talent. But McCain, when he's shooting like this and able to get this many shots up, he is that game-breaking player.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to – it'd be hard to lose a game where he makes 8 threes.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he's only taking 11, right? Exactly. Like, that's the crazy thing of the efficiency on that. And he's
okay with him taking 20, to be honest.
Me too.
If they're good looks.
Me too. Like, that Golkey kid or whatever that he had, like, he shot the ball 16 times. They were all threes.
Yep. Love it.
Like, let's go, bro. Like, just get this dude shots. Now, I get that we have other talent there, but, like, when he's feeling it, man, there's
you gotta
nothing
ride
you really
him.
Do. Yeah.
You got to ride him. I mean, yeah. Because, again, he can break a game up. Open with in three possessions, three straight threes. You know, he's done it a couple times.
It's a cheat code, dude. And we feed off of it, right? Like, it just gets everything, especially those bench threes. And I think I saw like Duke tweeted that out too. Like, so many of those threes that we hit were like right on top of our own bench. So, like, everybody's just getting jacked up. Yeah, heck of a performance. I also thought Tyrese played a really great game against James Madison. He finished 4 of 10 from three, but his first, I think he missed like his first three that were all wide open until he finally hit that, like that fourth one over there. He was just probing, you know, was able to get in the lane. And again, I just didn't see that physicality bother us. You know, we were just able to manipulate it. We were able to just kind of get into our stuff. Man, the guard play, and that's what we need in the tournament. We always say like guards win this tournament. We've had three good ones this pod, fellas. So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look, so you add it all up here. We've got our guards had 12 assists to one turnover.
Yeah, and then you get another 4 assists from Mark. Right?
Exactly.
And no turnovers. So he wasn't scoring a lot. I mean, I think he only took 6 shots, but they were playing in a way to where if you're just going to let Flip be by himself and you're not going to double him, then we'll just take what they give us. And so...
And Mark's defense was critical in this one too. He obviously got the main assignment he got was Edwards, and Edwards does end up finishing 5 of 11, but we took him out of the game early and really made him work. Like, the shots that he did hit were tough shots.
Yeah. A lot of and that. He had four turnovers too, yep. right? So like we were kind of forcing him into some bad stuff there. Shout out to Vernon's little brother, Justy Ham. Oh, yeah. I mean, you couldn't help it. He looks almost like him.
Yeah. Moves like him, everything.
Same
it's
hair.
It's eerie, man. Vernon might be a little bit better, though, because what did his brother have?
Five points.
And, one of three from the field.
Yeah, he's a freshman. You know.
But, maybe, the resemblance is uncanny. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Just to kind of full circle it, right? We're playing the Dukes, and then we're Duke, and obviously, and then Vernon, Jalen kind of combo there. Pretty cool, pretty cool.
If we need a big in a couple years.
I was just about to say, you know, not to go tampering, but, hey, stay on the radar, bro. Stay on the radar. I guess we should talk about the bench a little bit too, right? Like Vermont wasn't really a game. I mentioned the heavy minutes that we played from that one. So that wasn't really a game where we were getting a whole lot of bench production there. Obviously in a blowout like this, you're going to get a lot of bench minutes, but man, honestly, I thought Ryan gave us some really solid stuff there when Flip did get into a little bit of foul trouble. They couldn't really attack him or anything. He wasn't really hurting us. He has six rebounds. I think he only has one turnover.
He had a block too, a nice recovery.
Yeah,
a nice block. Open layup.
Yeah. A good game from Sean again, which was cool to see. You know, I was watching the game with some buddies and we commented too that like he's celebrating that alley oop before he even touches the rim, bro. Like as soon as he catches it, he's already doing like the chest pump almost as he's coming down, dude. That was pretty cool to see. That was pretty cool to see. Even TJ got some burn. When you get Hubbard, Begovic, and all those guys are sitting in the game, like things are going well, right?
Yeah.
Things are going well. I don't even think we lost like any. I need to go and check the plus minus. Our walk ons might be a positive in this game. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. Anything else y'all want to talk about in terms of either of those games individually, or we can kind of do some player spotlight stuff and kind of do a little bit of preview talk here, or anything we missed? I'm sure we did, but.
No, I would just say that I think that the second most exciting play in Duke basketball this year, the first most exciting is a Jared McCain transition three. The second most exciting to me is when Sean Stewart has a run out. Not when he's dribbling, but when somebody else is dribbling and he has the run out. You know, he has the lane.
Yeah. Also, shouts to Mark for just throwing that up too, right? Because he's not like a guard. He's not like a point guard or anything like that. And he could have just went and maybe got an and one out of it himself. But
since he made that mistake that I kind of pointed out earlier where he was that the Vermont game? It's blurring together for me now. Where he tried to get that dunk in transition and just ended up getting blocked.
Yeah, well, he had a few of those in this game too, right? Where he kind of got caught like a little too low, couldn't get it up, couldn't finish around it.
It was a little frustrating because he had Proctor on the other side there and he could have just dropped it back to him.
Yeah. Any concern about Jeremy's finger? At first, I thought it was a wrist and I was like, God, he just broke his wrist, right? Because the way he was holding it and like flexing it. It does look like it was a finger on the non-shooting hand. So that's positive, I guess, that it's not the shooting hand. Obviously he has 15 and 6, so we need him out there. But any concern lingering about this? To me, it seems like you just splint it, tape it, and take a week, and let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Got a couple days of rest, so don't do anything, much contact. In the next couple of days.
I mean, why was he even playing? I was like yelling. I was like, dude, take Roach out of the game, John. Like, what are we doing here, bro? We're up 35, but clearly he was
gotta pump up those net numbers, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting because when he came back in, he took like two jumpers right away. And I was like, okay, I guess it's all right. He missed both of them, but they weren't like wildly off. But then he seemed to kind of switch over to kind of attacking the rim more and being more of a distributor. I'm kind of blowing my points for our player spotlight, but so maybe we should move on to that.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick little break here and then we'll come back and do our player spotlights.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, so let's come back. Let's do our kind of player spotlights here, not just for individual game, fellas, but just for this whole kind of little pod here in Brooklyn. Shu, I'll go to you first. Who you spotlighting?
Yeah, I mean, I just got to shout out Jared McCain one more time. Obviously, you know, the game against JMU, 8 threes, 8 of 11. But just shouts to him for not just being a three-point shooter like we were talking about earlier. After he's made a couple of these shots, and just like the kid from Oakland, you know, that's all he's doing is shooting threes. Well, Jared's putting it on the floor and getting to the rim and then making things happen, making passes. Like I said earlier, you know, pass off a stagger screen for Mark for a dunk, a drop off for Flip for a dunk, a couple nice finishes in the lane. I think in the Vermont game, he had in a pretty pivotal moment, you know, he kind of went through the lane and did this like,
oh yeah,
like high arcing, like, baby hook shot.
Can't believe that shot went.
Yeah. So, you know, just being a guy that when we need a bucket, goes and gets a bucket. I think he's one of our best offensive threats, obviously. Sometimes I think we need to kind of rely on riding more in those moments.
Yeah. And I'll credit his defense in the James Madison game too, because yep. I did not think his defense in the Vermont game was good. I thought they were kind of targeting him a little bit on that, and they tried to do it at the beginning of the James Madison game, and he really just answered that call, I thought, you know, like he stepped up. And it's not ever that his defense has been like he's not trying on defense, right? Like they're doing some NBA stuff where they're just trying to pick on a mismatch and saying like, hey, we're going to go after this guy. So I thought his defense today was really good though.
Sure. Yeah, I think he I don't want to say he's a better off-ball defender than on-ball, but I think he does a few things pretty well on defense. He has nice hands, and he plays the passing lanes well. But where he really struggles is when you can get him in a kind of isolation situation and try to take him off the dribble. And for whatever reason, JMU was not able to do that.
Yeah, and some of his recoveries too, and I was talking about it today, I called the guy Uncle Benny, the 35-year-old that almost killed Jalen. McCain comes out and he recovers so hard that you just let this guy just blow right past you.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, all right, you don't need to let 35-year-old YMCA dad just coast to the rim. But yeah, either way, obviously the shooting was phenomenal. So shouts to Jared. All right, Raul, where are you going then?
I got our senior captain, Jeremy Roach. You know, he's been struggling a bit lately to end the season. We've been kind of wondering, like, is the kind of chronic injury stuff he's had all year bothering him? You know, the shots falling off a little bit from where he was just hitting every open three he took. But I thought both of these games he's been really good. I mean, okay, Vermont, he only shot 3 of 10, but everybody shot poorly from the field. Sure. He had a couple huge shots in that game. There was a when they had really cut into the lead, there was a left kind of wing three he hit off a sidestep that I thought was really big. And then like late in the game, he had that and one that kind of really put them away. And then in the James Madison game, you know, he gets that finger injury, leaves for a little bit, comes back and is still able to be effective. So I was just really impressed by that. I thought he played great defense against James Madison, got a bunch of deflections in the lane there. And then he was more acting as a distributor than necessarily a scorer, even though he did score well in this game. I think he had 6 assists to 0 turnovers. And he, you could see him kind of calling out a lot of sets there too, especially with him and Flip on the left side there. He was kind of orchestrating a lot of stuff, and we got some really good stuff out of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought his leadership and kind of vocalization out there on the court was big for us.
Yeah. Money from the line this weekend too, right? I think it's 11 of 13 or whatever it was that he finished. So yeah.
Yeah. And able to get to the line a lot too, which is big.
Yeah. Yeah. And that dude, that mid-range, man, when he's just able to get you on his hip, and it's just like, it doesn't matter what side of the floor it's from, dude, he just like floats there for a little bit, man. It's a beautiful shot.
And it seems like his burst is coming back a little bit to me. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. It seems like he's been able to get into the lane a little bit more quickly than he had been.
Well, you know, in the Vermont game, it was doing a lot of driving into like three people. Yeah. That was a little frustrating. And when he gets away from that, then yeah, I mean.
Yeah, a little more controlled today, yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. I thought Vermont did a better job of kind of collapsing on the driving lanes than JMU did.
Yeah, JMU wasn't offering a whole lot, really. I mean, and that's maybe just because we broke the game open with Jared just right away, right? Yep. And so it's like that, you know, we came out and set the statement and that was it. But all right, well, I'll round it out here. I went back and forth. I was going to take Proctor for a little bit just because I thought he was really solid and I thought he really did some great things today. But I'm going to go with Flip, and it really comes back to that Vermont game and just how impressed I was to have our leading scorer and a guy that has a ton of usage to just say, you know what, I'm going to take one shot. I'm going to rebound my ass off. I'm going to get these 12 boards. I'm going to get 4 assists. I'm only going to turn the ball over one time. I'm going to get 3 blocks, and I'm just going to let everyone else eat. You know, like Mark goes off. Tyrese and Jared are doing their thing, right? Like Roach plays well, and he just accepts that. And that's a hard thing to do. And I think it's hard to do from a team standpoint as well when you're so used to just, okay, this is going to be the hub. And now he's always been a passing big force, but not where he's only taking one shot, you know? So for him to be able to do that and then come right back in the James Madison game, you know, it's not like he scored a ton, but he has 14. I think he only has 5, but he's 4 assists again, has 2 steals, had a little bit of foul trouble there. I don't blame him too much for that, man. I thought 1 or 2 of those were like really late whistles and kind of weak.
The second foul especially pissed me off. I thought it was great vertical contest. And then just because the James Madison the player missed the shot, then that's when you get the late whistle there.
Yeah. And then there was another one, the third or fourth one, where like Sean, him and Blakes are there, or Sean or somebody, where it's like, and it got caught on Flip. And I was like, wait, what? How is that on Flip? But how was a shooting foul on Flip? Flip wasn't even guarding that guy. But whatever.
And to go back to your 4 assists in the Vermont game, I mean, John pointed out in the presser after that, should have been more. You know, we just missed some open shots, wide open shots that he gave.
Yeah. I mean, he has 8 assists in these 2 games. Yeah. So that's solid, man. That's solid. I'll take that.
And I don't think it even tells the full story, his the way he kind of padded the box score in the Vermont game, because that doesn't show you anything about the kind of defense he played. I mean, the blocks do a little bit, but I just thought his rotations and his switching defense especially was like super impressive.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought in both games, really. But yeah, Vermont for sure. But yeah, man, we were just locked in, dude. And that's good to see. Right? This is the time of the year. We need to be locked in. This is what these guys came back for after what happened last year, you know, getting past that second round. You get to kind of I love this because anytime you get to breathe for a few days, right? Like, okay, nice. I just get to enjoy this whole week, know that you're playing still.
Too bad Izzo's a jackass.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
can't get it done.
I knew they wouldn't, but I thought they would. You know, it's like,
especially when they're up like 12. Yeah.
You went from up 12 to down 9 in like 7 minutes, bro. Yeah. Like, this isn't 2009 Carolina. Come on. But
the Doc Rivers of college basketball.
Yeah. Alas, maybe Alabama can do something for us over there. Someone's got to end these
Can we
guys.
Do the, should we do the Izzo rant right here? I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, the dude gets this reputation of being so incredible in March, but it's like, every time it's because he had a really good preseason team, a team that everybody thought was going to be good, sucks it up for 4 months. And then all of a sudden they get it together for 2 weeks and he's like, oh man, what a wizard. This guy took an 11 seed. You're like, dude, they were preseason number five. Like,
yeah,
another 11 seed
every year.
And lately he hasn't really even been making the deep runs anymore. So yes. It's like,
yeah,
that's kind of like something he was more doing like in the 2010 to 2015 era, I feel like.
Yeah. We did this in 19 to get to the final
round. That's true. Yeah, they had that run in 19. Yeah, but then we beat them in 22 in the second round, right? And then obviously they just lost again in the second round.
Just inexplicably.
Sorry, so it is a rant, but I don't understand the
whole. Well, and also, like, I'm glad that Brownell called out the Big 12 about how they were manipulating the Nets, because, you know, I've been talking about that a little bit, about how some of those teams are able to do that by just beating the brakes off of these no-name schools and then playing each other. What the Big 12 finish? What, 1-6, 1-7? Yeah, I guess if Houston wins, 2-6, 2-7.
Right. Whereas the ACC here is dominating, despite people talking about how trash it was all year. And I'm not going to say it's the vintage ACC. It's clearly not as good as it was in like 2015. Right. But it's funny how we keep doing so well in the tournament.
Yeah. We've got something figured out. So, you know, maybe they'll look at that or.
It's been down, air quotations, for the last couple of years. But, I mean, 2022, we had half the Final Four field.
Right.
You know, Miami's in it last year. I think a couple of years ago, we kind of the same thing where we had the Sweet 16. There were like six teams from the ACC in it. So
Yeah, 2019 was a big one, right? I think you had Carolina, Duke, Virginia. Obviously, they won it all.
Yeah.
Maybe there's another team in there, too. I can't remember. But, go ACC, right? Except for Carolina, they can go to hell. But all right, fellas. Well, I guess we can talk very briefly here about, you know, we're heading to Dallas next week. I think we're going to play Friday. Don't know the timing of that yet. Houston and A&M are a half right now. So I think Houston's up 5. Yep. Y'all want to get into this, or do you just want to kind of wait, come back and do like a full-scale preview? Yeah, do you have a preference here? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say any of this stuff out loud, because every time I say I have a preference, then that's, you know,
you lose to the team that you wanted to play.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to put that in the ether, but I'll just say either one of those teams, we're going to have to come prepared for a fight. I mean, both of those guys have grown ass men playing. Yeah. I mean, you watch this game, that's 10 dudes out there that look like, you know, they're about it. So you're going to have to come out strong.
Head coaches on both of these, right? Yep. Like experience. Yep. You got Buzz Williams down there at A&M.
Yep.
Obviously, everyone knows who comes up and is doing, like, what he's been doing at Houston, knocking on the door for a while here.
In both of them's backyard, essentially. You know.
Either way, you're playing a Texas school in Texas. So buckle up, boys. Yep. Buckle up. We'll see. Could run into former Blue Devil Henry Coleman. Anybody remember O. Henry? Yep. So we'll see. I'm not putting out a preference either, because I don't.
I mean, I think the preference is obvious who you want to play.
Yeah, sure. Right. If you can get a 9, you take a 9, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think we need to tell people how good Purdue, how good Houston is. That resume kind of speaks for itself there. So
we need Jeremy Roach to pull a 2022 Jeremy Roach and just eviscerate the best defense in the country.
Yeah. And that could happen, right? If he's into that mid range and if they start collapsing, then maybe you get something going.
Jared spotting up in the corner for him to kick out too, or
you get a whole week to prepare, and let's roll the ball out and see. You know, we kind of talked about on our preview that this is kind of where we thought Duke would hopefully get to. I think we all kind of thought this might be the end, but at this point, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to reevaluate a little bit. It's like we thought we'd get to the Sweet 16, but we didn't think we'd look this good doing it. Sure. So, you know, that readjusts your expectations a little bit. We're not going to make predictions right now because we don't even know what team it's going to be. But, you know, you should feel better than we did like a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We'll see. I'm pretty excited about it, man. Nice to keep going. So, you know, get ready for Dallas. And like I said, I think we play Friday, so we'll find out what time that is. With it being a Sweet 16 game, I'm imagining that all of these are going to be somewhere between like 5:15 to like 9, right? Like that's going to be the schedule somewhere in there. So it should be a nice little evening game. But in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247. And we're going to Dallas, boys. Keep the faces strong and the verve high. Go Duke.